And now, Tucson's Hispanic Voices. Arizona, traditionally a red Republican state, is finally feeling the efforts of several Democratic groups pushing to register new voters, particularly Hispanics. As a result, the ground appears to finally be shifting for the first time since Bill Clinton won it more than two decades ago. According to an NBC News Maris poll released last Sunday, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden is leading President Trump with 50% support among registered voters in Arizona, compared with the president's 45%. Arizona Republican Senator Martha McSally is also trailing Democrat Mark Kelly by 13 points in a key U.S. Senate race. Democrats are counting on President Trump's potential weakness in handling the coronavirus pandemic and an increase in Hispanic voters. During the 2018 midterms, Hispanics voted in larger numbers and provided the margin of victory in electing Democratic U.S. Senator Kyrsten Sinema. It marked the first time Democrats won an Arizona Senate seat since 1988. Arizona is no doubt in play as a new battleground state. Republicans are battling just as hard to attract Latinos. Registering new voters is one thing, but will Hispanics actually turn out on election day and vote? Let's talk facts and learn about a statewide Aquí Se Vota campaign that aims to empower Latinos to let their voices be heard at the ballot box. Welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. In Arizona, there are 1.2 million Latino-eligible voters. According to the Pew Research Center, that's about 24% of all eligible voters. Nationally, the 2020 presidential election marks the first time in history that Latinos will be the largest minority ethnic or racial group in the electorate, with 32 million eligible voters. Two in three live in just five states, including right here in Arizona. Still, that doesn't mean they'll all cast ballots on Election Day, November 3rd.
My guest today is Luis Avila. He's a lead organizer of Aquí Se Vota, a statewide campaign to register eligible Latino Hispanic voters and get them to actually vote. Luis, welcome to Tucson's Hispanic Voices.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. It's great to join this platform.
So before we get into why the Latino vote matters, tell us about the campaign Aquí Se Vota and explain how you're mobilizing and recruiting volunteer coaches to register and get Latinos and Hispanics to vote. Vote, 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 vote.
That is right. So, you know, we've been called a sleeping giant for way too long. Latinos have significant political power in the state of Arizona, and it cannot be that as a community, we are continuing to be relegated on decision-making from healthcare to education and almost in every single level of government. You know, the COVID situation, the coronavirus virus, has actually taught us and showed us a lesson that when we look at the places where the cases are flaring up, where we look at the places most impacted by coronavirus contact and tracing, it is unfortunate that, you know, the highest numbers come in the Latino community across the state, not only because we are frontline workers that are, you know, putting our lives on the line to continue to build this society and move our community forward, but also because we have less access to healthcare, less access to actual labor protection that allows us to do this work in the most safe and cautious way. So Aquí Se Vota is an effort to say enough. Latinos have political power in order for us to live our self-determined lives and to control our future by actually advancing the people who are going to be defending and advancing our rights in the state of Arizona.
And how exactly, though, is the campaign going out into the community to actually make sure that Latinos are not only registered to vote, but actually vote?
That's a great question. So we know that one of the most important values for Latino families is the actual concept of family. We take care of each other. Sometimes, you know, like the example of my family, sometimes a little bit too much, right? Like we're up on our business sometimes a little too much, but we're actually using that value, using that strength, using that asset as a way for us to engage or motivate people to vote. So how we're doing that? we are basically creating a program that we're rooting it and basing it on the Promotoras de Salud program. Now, these Promotoras de Salud that for decades have been recruited in communities, in Spanish-speaking communities and other communities in rural areas and urban areas to promote health, healthy practices, dieting, prevention of diabetes, etc. So we are creating that basically that same format and saying to community members in Arizona, become a promotor del voto. Become a vote promoter who will talk to families and friends about three simple things. One question is, do you commit to vote these elections? And if the person says, yes, I commit to vote, that promotor is going to help them ensure that they're registered to vote. And if they are registered to vote, they're going to make sure that they are registered to vote by mail so that these elections, we can vote by mail and keep it safe and keep it simple. And also give us a time to study what is going to be a really complicated ballot and receive support from our community members about how to vote or how to make the process the easiest way possible. To these promotores, we're providing training. We're partnering with a very well-known former news anchor from Univision, Mari Rábago, who's co-producing videos with us that are short and simple to train people on why voting matters, how is it done, how do we persuade others to ensure that they know the importance of voting, and creating a plan to vote as well.
So why does every single Latino vote matter? Should we not trust the margin of error in polling?
Well, those two questions, I think, are the crux of what we're living in right now, right? Voting, it's so inconsistent and so unreliable in these days that we just don't know if wishful thinking is going to be enough for our community to turn out. We're actually hearing from research that about 30% of Latinos are actually considering staying out of this election this year. That would be disastrous for our community. You know, not participating in these elections could impact things like the decisions we're making for who are going to be our city officials, our state legislature in the state of Arizona, and more importantly, to just define how this country is going to have a relationship with Latinos across the country. We are seeing a time when Latinos have a target in our backs, both literally and, you know, figuratively, right? We can't forget what's been happening in the last few years, the El Paso shooting targeting community members that look like you and me, but also the policies that we're seeing that continue to be just detrimental to our community. As we speak, the federal government is trying to take away health care from us, which is something that we cannot allow when after more than 20 million Latinos have been benefiting from the expansion of Medicare and access to health care. We cannot go back to a time where the majority of our community is not covered by insurance. So this election is critical to define the future of our community, and every Latino should be involved in it, from electing the Supreme Court decision makers of the future to ensuring that our legislature is more representative of our community. These elections will matter more than many other elections that we live through our lifetime.
Once again, I am speaking with Luis Avila from Aquí Se Vota. Luis, you just mentioned that polls are showing that about 30% of Latinos are considering to sit out this presidential election. What does that mean in numbers? And how do you plan to go out and convince them that their vote counts? Every single one of them.
What we know is that a couple of the reasons why Latinos are deciding to, you know, or are considering or ambivalent about voting are actually not really complicated issues. One of them is that new voters, particularly, we have a lot of new voters in the Latino community. We have to remember, you know, just about two elections ago, we were at 14% of the electorate, and we are approximating 30% of the electorate in this cycle and the next cycle. So we almost double of voter participation, you know, in less than a decade. That is really, really powerful for our community. Not only because we became U.S. citizens for those of us who could, like myself, but we also registered to vote if we were citizens and learn more about the process. This is a catalyst of, we can't remember that just 10 years ago, SB 1070 was actually, you know, making our lives more difficult. The Show Me Your Papers law of 10 years ago was impacting all Latinos, not just immigrant communities, but all Latinos who were driving on the streets or who were being stopped by police. Now, that catalytic situation 10 years ago really changed the politicization of our community. Over 300,000 Latinos have registered to vote since then. Over 10% of the increase in voter participation. In 2016, our community, Latino community in Arizona, voted at the same level in participation indication that they voted in such a historic election like 2008 when Obama was elected. And in 2018, in the midterm election, when supposedly we vote less, Latinos voted as much as if it was a presidential election. So Latinos are already out there voting and participating. But the issue is that because of coronavirus, because of this election that is so complex, what we're hearing from communities is that, one, people think that it's too difficult to vote. So we have to remove the obstacles for people to exercise their rights. And secondly, that they're afraid of making a mistake. They're afraid of voting for someone who will then hurt our community. So that is why it's important for us to talk as friends and family to each other and make sure that we inform each other about who are the people in the ballot who are going to be supporting us. Not just the candidates, but also the ballot initiatives that will help increase funding for schools, you know, ensure that we have more resources in hospitals, and, you know, also things like the environment and immigration that are going to be so critical for us in the coming years.
You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Luis Avila with Aquí Se Vota. Are undocumented immigrants really voting? Tucson's Hispanic Voices, a special thank you to our sponsors, MPG Automotive, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle, HT Metals, growing our community by growing your business, the Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood, she's more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights, and theme music for Tucson's Hispanic Voices, composed by native Tucsonan Gabriel F. Romo. Stay with us, Tucson's Hispanic Voices, we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez.
Si se puede, si se puede, si se puede, si se puede, si se puede.
Approximately every 30 seconds, a Latino in the U.S. turns 18. Young Latinos could have a huge impact on the outcome of this year's 2020 presidential election if and only if they turn out to vote. That could mean 4 million new eligible voters. And make no mistake about it, both the Democrats and Republicans are hoping to win over the Latino vote. Let's continue our conversation with Luis Avila. He's a lead organizer of Aquí Se Vota, a campaign to register Latino Hispanic voters and get them to actually vote.
What do you say to critics who continue to say that all of these efforts to register Latinos to vote is really trying to get undocumented immigrants to register to vote and to vote illegally?
That's ludicrous. I mean, just to be honest, undocumented families, undocumented folks are already too afraid to be putting their names out there to risk their livelihood for a vote that wouldn't even count. That is just so ludicrous that we would, in the same thought, believe that these folks who are not able to even sometimes have access to health care, go to a hospital, even when they're suffering from COVID, because they're afraid that they're going to be identified by a government that they're afraid of, that they're going to have the audacity to go out there and register themselves and pretend that they're someone else, just to cast a vote and be identified by a government that they're afraid of. That is just ludicrous. What I think is the real point here is that those people who are actually saying that our Latino communities might be committing fraud is because we do not trust that us as Latinos are self-determined, smart, intelligent people who can make our own decisions. And I think at the root of it, that's what these critics are saying, is that we don't know how to decide what is best for us. And that us, the people who have become citizens like myself, that had to wait for 19 years to become a resident, and they had to wait 5 years on top of that to become a citizen. And the day that I became a citizen, ensured that I enrolled to vote, that there are many more of us. Many more of us who want to be part of the fabric of this country and want to continue to impact it and want to make sure that the future, it's a benefit for us and our families. But not only us, Latinos are not monolithic. In our community, we have people who are, you know, who have been in this country for longer than Arizona was a state. So we have community members also who have been voting for generations and that are still in our places and that are now learning that vote by mail might be the safest way to do it during a pandemic, and that it also allows us to just get more information information on who are the best people to vote for.
Let's be honest. There are a lot of Latino voters supporting Trump in 2020. Could registering more Latino Hispanics hurt your overall cause?
That's a great question. Look, I'm going to tell you, I do not believe that we are as Latinos, a kept electorate. What I mean by that is Latinos automatically are not going to vote for Democrats just because they're Latino. That is a fallacy. You know, we've seen Latinos, you know, voting in high numbers for Bush, in high numbers for Obama. And, you know, in this case, we're actually seeing that Trump has a really, really low number of supporters in Arizona. And the reality is that we as a community are not all monolithic. We don't vote the same way. So, you know, I understand that there are people out there who are voting for Trump because they're seeing right now a world that is divided and a world that is really, really conflicted on what is the real question of this country. The real question of this country is going to be, are we as Latinos, are we as communities that, you know, do not fit the image that Trump has of what America means, going to fit in this country? We're not voting for the person who's going to be president just for today. We're not voting because of the $1,200 that you might have gotten on a check. We're voting for the future. You know, we might have gotten a little bit of money right now in a stimulus, and some Latinos might be considering voting for Trump for that reason or others. But in reality, that we're voting for the future of this country. We're voting to know if our college is going to be accessible for our kids, if they're going to be able to go to college without getting into debt, if we are going to be able to have health care in the next few years as communities, as we continue to age, and if we're going to be able to have a planet that's healthy, if we're going to have access to water. Those are the real questions we're asking ourselves for voting. So for those people who are considering voting for Trump, think about the future. Think about what you're voting for, really, and the impact that it will be having in our society. Now, if you're still going to be voting for Trump because of whatever decisions you're making, I really recommend that you start talking to your family and that you start hearing the stories about how this election might impact them. Because one thing we know is for sure, women in our communities, Latinas, who are some of the wisest voices in our community, are trending to vote overwhelmingly against Trump because they know what's at stake in this election. And they are doing the studying and they are doing the analysis to ensure that their friends and family know what's at stake when voting in this election in November.
And I do just want to piggyback off what you just said and make it clear to our listeners and to those who are critics of voting by mail or just registering more Latinos to vote. We are not all one in the same. And we should not be put in the same cookie jar to say that we think alike, nor are we as diverse as you think we are. That's number one. Number two, that $1,200 stimulus check is not Trump money. That is your taxpayer money. And we should make that clear because everyone seems to think that that check is coming from Trump. No, it's not. It's coming from your dollars, dollars that you paid into our taxes, and you deserve it back. With that said, how do you motivate those Latinos who say, I'm not going to vote. My vote doesn't count. Because we get a lot of that within the Latino community when it comes election time. ¿Por qué? My vote's not going to count.
I think that we're seeing a trend that is changing that. You know, as I mentioned earlier, 2016 and 2018, we saw a huge increase of Latino voters. We are actually, the numbers of people becoming citizens are backed up because so many members of our communities who were legal permanent residents are now becoming citizens because they want to vote. So I think that the trend is changing, but we still need each other to do that. That's why, like you said, Volta, where we are basing and rooting this program on, it's on, you know, mostly we're actually targeting Latinas. The research of these years, the last 2 years, have shown that Latinas in our community are way more likely to participate in elections. Not only to participate, but to get their family to vote. They're the most trusted voices in families, and they are the ones who are more likely to vote this election. So we're targeting Latinas in this Promoporas program so that they can hold community conversations with their family, they can ensure that their children are registered to vote, because still Latinos and young Latinos in particular are still in very low numbers on voting participation. So we need to get our young people to register and to participate, and no better person than their mothers and their tias to get them to actually enroll and participate. But also we're seeing something really interesting, and that is men. Latino men are actually the most apathetic and ambivalent when it comes to voting. The older that we're becoming as Latinos men, we actually are participating less in the elections. So we believe in Aquí Se Vota that engaging women, engaging spouses, engaging mothers, engaging, you know, sisters, all of these men will be the way for us to actually turn it around, to ensure that these guys are getting to the point of participating and knowing their value of their vote. That's what we're doing in Aquí Se Vota, creating excitement and creating FOMO, as I said, right? Like the fear of missing out. If everybody's doing something fun, if everybody's doing something safe, people will do it. So that's what we're doing with Aquí Se Vota, creating some excitement, making information available to people, and ensuring that people know what's at stake in this election.
It sure would be awesome if we saw more Latinas in Congress and elected more Latinas to Congress to make an even bigger difference, in my opinion. Obviously, in Arizona, there's a lot of intensity with Democratic voters, as you know, and a lot of intensity with Republican voters. So how big of a role will independent Latino voters make?
Huge. I mean, I'll tell you that the biggest trend in Arizona that we're seeing right now is that the majority of Arizonans are actually registering independent, right? Because they believe that they want to have the option of voting in the Republican or Democratic candidates, right?
That's an interesting fact right there.
Yeah, we're seeing actually a lot of people registering as independents. That's always been a trend in Arizona, to be honest. You know, in other states, they force you to pick a party. In Arizona, people are registering independent because I think they have the option. But also, that's leaving a lot of people out of primaries, right? So when you register as independent, you have to request a Democratic ballot or a Republican ballot. And that's leaving people outside of the party infrastructure, not allowing us to sometime, you know, elect more adequate candidates when it comes to primaries. So in some ways, we're shooting ourselves in the foot if we are registered independents and not requesting a ballot to vote in a party, then we're basically just getting to vote in the general. But at the same time, I think one important thing is that this year in particular, in 2020, we actually saw a huge increase on voter participation and voter registration from Democrats. This is one of the most historic years for registration for Democrats, which is a first, by the way, showing that Republicans are, when you see at their registration, Republicans tend to be older and whiter, and Democrats tend to be younger and more people of color. So in Spanish, we say las últimas patadas del ahogado, right? Like the last kicks of a system that in Arizona has been, you know, anti-immigrant, unfortunately, that has attacked our community since several years, right? From Brewer to Russell Pierce to Arpaio, our community has been a target of Republican operatives. And unfortunately, that's been a reality in our state. So we're seeing a growth of independents, but also a historic number of registrations for Democrats. And let's see how it's going to look this November. I think that's going to be a critical factor to see the future of these two parties in the state.
Still to come on Tucson's Hispanic Voices, historically, Latinos have embraced in-person voting, but will they be willing to vote by mail? A special thank you to our sponsors, MPG Automotive, HT Metals, and the Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood. Tucson's Hispanic Voices will be right back. Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. We continue our conversation with Luis Avila with Aquí Se Vota. As you know, Luis, the controversy over voting in person versus voting by mail continues to set off a firestorm of misinformation. President Trump, who votes by mail, is planting the seeds of doubt that voting by mail is fraudulent. Voting experts say while some voting fraud does happen, it's extremely rare, especially voting by mail. Here are some facts to consider. The nonpartisan and nonprofit Voter Participation Center, together with the Center for Voter Information and Voto Latino, recently released a new report assessing election year opinions of Latino voters in six key 2020 states, including Arizona. According to this survey, 42% of Latinos say they have voted using an absentee ballot or vote by mail to cast a ballot, but confidence is mixed. 30% say they are very confident vote-by-mail ballots are delivered and counted. An equal 30% are not that confident, and the remaining 40% say they are somewhat confident. When asked if they had the option to vote in person or by mail, Latinos are nearly split, with 51% saying they would vote in person and 49% saying they would vote by mail.
How does Aquí Se Vota overcome these obstacles and perhaps the fear of voting by mail, especially when you have the onslaught of commercials, political ads, and the president saying that voting by mail is fraudulent?
That's a great question. I actually don't think that's going to work in Arizona. The numbers that you shared are real nationally. But when you look at Arizona, I mean, over 70% of voters already vote by mail in our state. Now, over half of Latinos already vote by mail in the state. We've been doing this work for over 10 years, right? And we know that we build trust in the communities in this process. But also, on top of that, we have experience running vote-by-mail elections in Arizona. So while other states are, you know, probably a little more confused and a little more afraid, in Arizona, we've been doing it for over a decade.
Arizona, we've been voting by mail since 1992.
Correct. And that's what I mean is, like, when I say is that we've been doing it for a long time, we have trust. But for over a decade, what we also know is that county recorders have also increased their process. For example, in Arizona, better than any other state, we also get text messages when we send our ballots, right, to tell them that they received their ballots. We get reminders on the mail to tell people that they need to send their ballots. We have organizations making phone calls. Aquí Se Vota, we're going to be doing text messaging. We're going to be mobilizing our promotores to ensure that people are receiving their ballots, and if not, that we can troubleshoot with them. So, to be honest, that is actual power. This is why Trump and the Republicans are scared of actually making voting available. As I said earlier, the way that Trump wants to win this election is not by inviting people to vote for him. It's just to stay away from the process. We saw a few weeks ago in elections in Georgia, in elections in states in the South, how African-American voters were left out of the process by making them wait more than 3 hours to vote on election day. That is the whole strategy of the Republicans and Trump, is to make it so difficult for us to vote that we just don't do it, that they oppress our vote. So the only way to stay a step away from them is to actually do the things that we know work in Arizona, which is voting by mail, you know, since the 90s, voting by mail with these new county recorders that we know are going to send us information. We can check on the website. And with organizations like Aquí Se Vota, we're going to be providing support to ensure that if you're not sure if your vote counted, that we can make sure that you do know. So we can send you to the right place and you can see that your ballot arrived and that it's been in the custody of the recorder too. So we are doing everything we can to ensure that we build the trust in communities, because these strategies and these millions of dollars they're spending, not only, by the way, on vote by mail, but they're also spending money on voter intimidation, right? They're recruiting over 50,000 volunteers in states like Arizona to go and serve as quote-unquote poll workers. But really what they're doing is intimidating people. We've seen it in the past. We've seen it in New Mexico, where they have, you know, people being super aggressive in polling locations, not pushing people away from voting, cutting lines, and not ensuring that communities, especially Latino communities, are having voting access and safety.
I should mention, in Pima County, 80% of all voters vote by mail. I should also mention, in Pima County, our county recorder is Latina. More importantly, for critics, she's Republican, and she's held that office for 7 terms, the longest elected county official in Pima County. So to those critics, it kind of quashes exactly when they say, oh, we don't trust vote by mail. But we have a Republican who's been overseeing the process and making sure that the process is pretty much free from fraud. It's kind of difficult when people don't understand that and they pass judgment, don't you think?
Absolutely. That also shows you how ill-informed the Republican strategy is by saying that the very process that is managed and has been managed by them for over 20 years, it's unsafe, right? That shows how they're talking from both sides of their mouth. That's true. The elections have been managed by Republicans for almost 20 years. And, you know, in the case of Pima County, has been, at least for the last 7 elections, and still, you know, this national effort from Trump and his friends to try to make it as instill doubt in a process that we know works. that we know makes it accessible for our community, and that we know makes it easier for our abuelitos, you know, to vote without having to leave their household in a moment of a pandemic, for people to be able to vote from the safety of their home and to have more time to inform their vote. All of those things are good for us.
With less than 100 days until the election, is there time to correct the course, especially overcoming concerns about voting by mail?
I think that the reality is that we have to start talking about the process itself so we can instill more confidence. We have to explain the things that you've been sharing, for example, how it works in Pima. We have to just talk about how the process is simple, how there is a website for you to check if your ballot arrived. I think the way to fight this disinformation strategy that the Republicans and Trump are actually trying to lead is for our community to be the real voices. Because I bet that my family members and my friends trust me more than they trust a spokesperson from the White House. So we are going to have to make sure, basically have real conversations with our community so they know who's actually lying in this process.
I agree with you 100% on that. I think that's exactly what this show is about. Tucson's Hispanic Voices is bringing diversity into the conversation, but it's also giving Latinos, Hispanics, a voice at the table, because I think our voice really matters, especially when it comes to our own culture and making the decisions that are important for us, and not let others tell us what is important for us, but we tell ourselves, here's what's important. And if you vote Republican, great, but at least you're voting, right?
That is correct. I mean, we are going to become a majority in this state in less than a decade. We can't continue to just sit down in the state and wait for people to make decisions for us. We didn't have the intelligence and the aptitude to be able to actually make decisions for ourselves. We're entering a new era. We're entering a new place. And I think that it's us, people like you, like me, but like your listeners, who are going to be able to shape the future of this state. We are the future of the state, and in the present is when we are actually shaping that future. So we need all the help that we can get. We're recruiting coaches right now. These coaches are helping with the promotores, where those are paid positions that we're hiring for, their stipend positions. It's really simple. It's less than part-time. People are going to be coaching promotores in English and in Spanish, hosting Zoom videos to explain people how the voting process works. And, you know, people can find more information about how to get involved in aquisevota.com.
Do you know of any instances where vote-by-mail fraud has swayed an election in Arizona?
No, there hasn't been any instances of voting fraud that I know of. What I do know is that there have been times when elections are decided because of vote by mail. What I mean by that is that on election day, the voting is so tight and so close. Vote by mail ballots are counted, and they are so close and so tight that they've had to do recounts to see, you know, who actually won. And there's been cases. You know, we can't forget about, for example, Kyrsten Sinema in the last election in 2018, where initially Max Sally had an advantage on election night because a lot of the vote-by-mail ballots were counted. And then on election day, Sinema received a huge amount of support for people who voted in person. So for a few days, we were waiting nervously to see who was the winner of that election, which, you know, Kyrsten Sinema won and Max Sally lost. And we can remember now that even though she's a senator, she was a senator because she was appointed by the governor, not elected by the people. That is an example about how vote-by-mail actually helps people have a better count of our votes. But how election day actually is also critical to deciding elections, because the reality is that low income and people of color, in particular Latinos, tend to vote a little bit less by mail because they haven't been talked to about the importance of these elections. Republicans overwhelmingly vote by mail. So if they say that it's unsafe, why is it that the majority of their people are voting by mail right now?
You are listening to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. When we come back, we'll tell you once again how you can get involved with registering Latinos and getting them to actually vote. Tucson's Hispanic Voices, a special thanks to our sponsors, MPG Automotive, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle, HT Metals, growing our community by growing your business, the Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood, she's more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights. Stay with us, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Tucson's Hispanic Voices. I'm Steve Nunez. There is absolutely no doubt about it. The push to register Latino voters is taking center stage with less than 100 days until election 2020, which is on November 3rd.
Sí se puede, sí se puede,
sí se puede, sí se puede.
In Arizona, there are 1.2 million Latino eligible voters. The idea that all Latinos vote Democrat is an ingrained assumption. While most Latinos have voted Democrat since the days of Franklin D. Roosevelt, around 30% of them have maintained a deep loyalty to the Republican Party. So, in my opinion, here's what's important: making sure Latinos exercise their freedom and right to vote. Vote Democrat, vote Republican, just vote. And let's make sure Latinos are active participants in making sure our voices are heard at the ballot box. With that said, let's continue our conversation with Luis Avila of Aquí Se Vota.
Tell us once again about the campaign Aquí Se Vota and explain how you're mobilizing and recruiting volunteer coaches, mainly Latinas, to register and get Latino Hispanics to vote.
Yeah, we are starting a promotores program, which basically we are recruiting 1,000 promotores from all across the state, from Yuma, Pima, Maricopa County, and other parts of the state, to basically talk to their friends and family about three things. Do they commit to vote? Are they registered? And they register to vote by mail. That way, they'll receive all the proper information. And during election season, when the last month of elections, they'll be receiving information on the important dates so they don't forget to send their ballot, how to do it properly, and they will have someone to guide them through the process. These promotores are acting almost like voting navigators, right? Like telling people how they're going to be doing this process. And these promotores will be trained by us, including by really high-quality videos that we're producing for them to be receiving this information, and weekly conversations with their coaches. As we speak today, we're actually recruiting more coaches. We're recruiting 10 coaches, these paid positions of bilingual coaches who can help promotores all across the state to receive additional training. And we have a very robust training program, including our training director, who's like constantly thinking about how do we make sure that people have the proper information in a fun and an easy and accessible way so that all of our community knows how voting process works and how to make it safe.
And these are paid positions, correct?
Correct. The coaching positions are all paid positions. They're stipend positions. There are part-time roles that we are hiring for in the community, and they're going to be basically in charge of regions in different parts of the state that will be working with promotores. The promotor role is something that we're certifying. So once people watch 4 videos of how voting works, how do you register others, etc., those positions are going to be certified, and we're sending them things like booklets, stickers, T-shirts, so like people have all the information that they need to register and get other people involved.
And how many promotoras are you looking to recruit?
We're trying to recruit 1,000 promotoras from all across the state so that each one of them will actually re-engage and recruit 10 people in their community. So we're talking about 10,000 voters that we'll be able to mobilize at a minimum in the next few months.
What's the overall goal?
The overall goal is that we are able to turn out 10,000 voters in this election that were not likely to vote if they didn't have the information that we have. But we know, talking to the promotores and the coaches that we're recruiting right now, we know that 10 is actually a small number, and some from promotores are already telling us, I'm probably going to get to higher numbers than that. So be ready to know that we've probably turned out, you know, close to 20,000 instead in the next few months.
I'm sure that's a real goal right there. Probably 20,000 instead of 10,000, right? I also want to mention.
Yeah, I hope so.
I want to mention again, there are 1.2 million eligible Latino voters in Arizona this year. If all of them showed up to vote, not only would that shift Arizona's political power, but what could this mean for our Latino communities?
Oh, that's a great question. There are a few things that I would say. One of them is that on the ballot this year, we're actually going to be deciding the way that we fund our schools in the upcoming years. So we know that our Latinos in Arizona, their issue that is usually at the top of their mind is education. You know, a majority of our community is really young. We have a lot of children in our community, and, you know, they attend overwhelmingly public education systems. So we actually know that this year in the ballot, we're going to be deciding how schools are funded. And that's how, one way that Arizona Latinos actually will be deciding the future of our community. We know that Latinos only receive a fraction of funding in school systems. So this could be changing that. The second thing that we'll be doing is we can actually might be balancing power at the legislature for the first time in two generations. What I mean by that is that this is the first time that actual Arizona, we could be electing a majority Democratic legislature, which means that for the first time in decades, we could have a Republican governor and a Democratic legislature, creating a balance of power to ensure that people are not just getting away with whatever they want, but they were putting pressure and compromising to make the best decisions for our families. That's why Latinos could be very, very important in deciding the future of our legislature, the future of our policymaking. And the third and last one, you know, one of the things that we're finding out is that decisions like healthcare, decisions like education, decisions like DACA, decisions in immigration, all of those things are actually being decided at the end of the day at the Supreme Court. We know that there might be a minimum of 2 seats that will be appointed by the next president of the United States. So right now, if we are not have a friendly person at the White House, and I know, I'm going to say it, where Donald Trump is not a friendly person to our community in the White House, those two positions could be appointed to be people who are against us. So we really need to elect a president who is going to be putting our families first, and deciding on those two Supreme Court decisions in the next few years is going to be critical for not only the next 4 years for the next election, but for the next 20 years, because these folks stay there forever. So this election, we are also basically electing two new Supreme Court judges as well.
Especially during a general election, there's a lot on the ballot, including a lot of wordy propositions that really it's difficult to understand the language in many of these propositions. And then there's so many other different candidates who are running for different offices, and it just becomes like overwhelming. What do you tell Latinos on how to vote to weed through all of that other stuff that they don't maybe need to vote for, but just concentrate on the importance of voting for the president, voting for top officials, et cetera, et cetera?
That's a great question. And as I shared earlier, that's one of actually the main reasons why Latinos are staying out of the process, because they believe that it's too complicated and they're afraid of making mistakes.
Correct.
Everybody just like, you know, stay away from it. That is something we have to change. I mean, you know, the way that we are attracting and tackling that with Aquí Se Vota is that one is that we're encouraging everybody we come across to that they should register to vote by mail. You know, the permanent early voting list, or PEVO as it's called in Arizona, it's a great way to actually have enough time for you to study the ballot. Imagine walking into the poll place in election day and encountering a ballot that is 3 pages long, you know, that includes ballot initiatives that are complicated, as you were saying, judges, county supervisors, city officials. It's just way too much. It's overwhelming. So what we're telling people is request the ballot so you can get it a month before. You can start asking questions to community members. You can also, you know, check out some of the organization's voting guides that will be available in October, and they will be also helping distribute, which helps you kind of understand the contrast between one ballot initiative or a candidate, and it just makes us better, more informed voters. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. It is sometimes impossible for me, that I do this for a living, to even know the candidates that are on the ballot. So when I encounter judges, for example, I have to do a little bit more research, or I have to talk to friends that I know about it, but also have to look for voting guides. So we will be partnering with organizations locally in Arizona and distributing voting guides that tell you who those candidates stand for, so that you can know, based on the assessment that we've created, would you trust that this candidate is a good person or a bad person for our community? So we'll be sharing information like that in Aquí Se Vota, but also we're encouraging people to do it by mail so that they have at least a month to do a ballot that is informed and educated. But also, if people decide to skip some elections and they don't want to vote for judges, or they don't want to vote for, you know, whatever in their ballot, people can do that. That doesn't cancel your ballot. You know, you decide to vote for one person and leave everything blank, you can do that. But again, the more that you stay out of the process, you know, the less power that we're building for our community.
For those who are now motivated to register to vote, how easy is it?
It's super easy. Arizona is one of the only states in the country where we have an online process to do it. So you can, you know, just go and register online at AZSOS, which is the Secretary of State website. Even if you just Google register to vote Arizona, you'll be able to find the page. It takes no time. I registered in less than 5 minutes a few months ago. We registered to ensure that I could vote in the primary. If you are already registered and you want to check if you're registered to vote by mail, just go to the Pima County Recorder website or to, you know, wherever the county that you live, or go to the SOS page, and you can just register to ensure that you are voted by mail, so you receive your ballot as well.
I want to ask this one last question one more time, because I want critics to hear your answer. When people say organizations like Aquí Se Vota are really out there to mobilize, not so much to register eligible voters, but to register undocumented immigrants so that they can boost the numbers and sway the election, what do you say to them? And don't hold back. Please don't hold back.
Yeah. I'm an immigrant from Mexico myself. I came to this country 20 years ago. And I had to wait a really long time for me to become a citizen. I would never, ever in my life put in jeopardy the lives and the livelihood of these families, of these mixed status families, for something that is so, so ludicrous that undocumented folks will put their lives at risk for voting. That is just not something that is right now in the psyche of our communities. Again, we're seeing during coronavirus, people who are not even going to the hospital because they're afraid of being identified, much more less they're going to be able to register and commit fraud against the United States just because they want to vote. The reality is that we can hold these two truths to be true, that Latinos don't vote, supposedly, right, which is what we're hearing from community members, and that we're also willing to commit fraud. That is just ridiculous. How can we those two things be true? That is just ridiculous. So what I would say to people who are thinking that this is a reality is it's never happened. Undocumented families are not participating in the electoral process, and that is actually dog whistle politics to say, and dog whistle narratives to say that we as Latinos do not have the right to vote as people that we are, and that we are not able to decide the future of our communities. To be honest, the language that they're using is just to scare us away from the process of voting. Republicans have been managing the elections in Arizona for almost 20 years, and every single election has been managed and there hasn't been fraud. This won't be the election where that will happen. Our community, that is eligible, will come out and vote. Those who are not undocumented, who are not citizens, will talk to their families about the importance of voting, but fraud is not in our DNA. We are people with dignity, we're responsible people, and we're hardworking families. What we are here for this country is to make it a better place, and we're going to do that by promoting civic participation in our families. But fraud is not part of our system.
Luis Avila, lead organizer of Aquí Se Vota. I want to thank you for coming on Tucson's Hispanic Voices. You are welcome on this show anytime. And I just hope you and your family stay safe and healthy. Good luck in getting Latinos to register to vote, and even better luck getting Latinos to actually vote. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity, for the space, for the platform. Thank you for promoting voting in our community. And don't forget to visit aquisevota.com so that you can learn more about how to get involved. Thank you so much.
If you need help registering to vote, go to aquisevota.com. You can also log on to the Pima County Recorder's website, recorder.pima.gov. Tucson's Hispanic Voices. A special thank you to our sponsors, MPG Automotive, going the extra mile for you and your vehicle. HT Metals, growing our community by growing your business. The Law Office of Natalie H. Haywood, more than just a criminal defense attorney, she's an advocate for human rights. And theme music, composed and performed by native Tucsonan Gabriel F. Romo. Tucson's Hispanic Voices, Saturday mornings from 10 to 11, right here on KVOY 1030, The Voice. I'm Steve Nunez. See you on the radio next week.